Hello and welcome to the latest in our series of Global Voices podcasts from Glasgow Caledonian University. My name's Gordon Hill and I'm a senior lecturer in the Department of Nursing, Community and Public Health, and I have an international role within the department and within the school. And I'm delighted today to be joined by Martin Murchie, who's the programme leader for the Master of Public Health programme here in Glasgow at GCU, and also Nene Ugo, who's been a student on the programme and has gone on to do really exciting things since then. So thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
So could we just kick things off by you telling us a bit about yourself, please? Nene, first.
Okay, my name is Chineye Ugo, and most students here know me as Nene, and I am a student of Masters in Public Health who just finished my classroom works, and I've been passionate about public health, leadership and health, and every other aspect of leadership. So I've worked with the United Nations World Health Organization for about 5 years before I came down to the UK to pursue my master's in public health. And I've been part of different leadership roles here in school. I served as the class rep for Masters in Public Health 2024, September set, and I'm currently serving as the vice president of the Student Association representing the School of Health and Life Science.
Fabulous, and I'm sure we'll get into more detail about that further down in the podcast as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Martin, how about yourself?
So I'm Martin Murchie, and I'm the programme lead, as you'd mentioned, for the Masters of Public Health in Glasgow. And my background is nursing, and before university, predominantly around the public health area of sexual and reproductive health and bloodborne viruses, focusing on what we now know as contact tracing from COVID. But back when I was there, we called it partner notification in a very different way. So I've had a career in practice for around over 20 odd years within bloodborne viruses and sexual and reproductive health, and have been in the university for coming up nearly 6 years now, with a real focus on public health has always been my kind of career aims. So I was delighted to pick up the programme lead for the MPH.
Perfect. And is that adult nursing or mental health nursing?
Yeah, so my background is adult nursing.
Okay.
Predominantly with a mix of things like counselling, supervision, a whole pile of other bits and pieces of extra education added on top of that as well.
Excellent, thank you. So, Nene, I wonder if you could let us know what led you to study at GCU. You said about the fantastic work with the UN and the WHO. So, how did you end up at GCU?
Okay, my background, like I said, is in the health sector. I studied biomedical sciences and I've worked with the public health sector for a while. So needing to further, I had to look up certain schools in the UK and checking out public health in GCU. First off, I'm going to say I looked up, the first person that pops up most times is the program lead for public health. That is Martin.
Absolutely.
So, and when I saw the work he did during COVID, then I looked up some other lecturers too, and I see the work they do, and it's something I'm interested in. I decided to pick up public health in GCU. So interest in disease surveillance, epidemiology, immunization, and, you know, the rest of it, infection prevention and control, which are my core, and also some aspects of leadership, which I've seen some of the lecturers portray. So that led me to choosing to study Masters in Public Health in GCU, and it's been a wonderful one.
Perfect. So your background's in biomedical sciences.
Yes.
And so did you work in that field in Nigeria before you came to the UK?
Yes, I worked in the biomedical sciences before I delved into public health fully.
Yeah. And so are you looking to, in the fullness of time, lead on from that in biomedical sciences, or where do you see yourself in the future beyond the role you're in just now?
Oh, like I said, I'm interested in both leadership in health and public health because public health gives me the opportunity to make more impact. I love health, where I have to interventions and disease surveillance and everything that regards to that. So public health is something I would fully delve into. And
thank you. So could you tell us a bit more about the MPH programme, please?
Yeah, so the Masters of Public Health programme runs at Glasgow Caledonian University, but it runs across two campuses that we have, one here in Glasgow, which I'm the programme lead for, and one's also on our London campus. And I have a co-programme lead, Razak, who is the programme lead for that within London. It's the same programme across both campuses, containing the same options for core modules and optional modules that are through it. I think at the heart of the MPH programme across GCU is trying to prepare students for the modern public health world that we live in, because we're still dealing with this increasing challenge of inequalities across the globe. It obviously just doesn't focus on the UK, although that's a large focus of the programme. It also looks at global aspects of health as well, and trying to look at those challenges that affect health and wellbeing for populations alongside life expectancy at the same time. So it's a really interesting integrated programme that tries to equip our students to deal with preventing disease, promoting health, and also protecting the health and wellbeing of the public through providing education, research, and also public health practice at the same time.
And it's a one-year programme?
Well, you can do it as a full-time student. Mm-hmm. In a year, you can also do it as a part-time student over 3 years, or also as a distance learning student from 2 to 5 years. So we have a variety of students mm-hmm. in the programme. Our international students, like Nene, are predominantly only a year's programme. But we do have a September intake and also a January intake, although London has one extra intake in May as well.
And is it the same? Is there option modules, or how does that work?
So we have core modules within programmes. So all students will do, as Nene has quite eloquently said, things like epidemiology, mm-hmm. applied statistics. They'll do the principles of public and theory of public health, social action, and evidence base, along with advanced research methods, which helps them lead into their dissertation and their dissertation topic at the end of the programme. The optional modules we have are around infection prevention in a global context. We have navigating the policy context, and we also have health economics. I nearly forgot Linda's module. She'll give me a row if I forget that. So the students can choose from one of those three as an optional module, and they usually run within trimester B.
And then what module did you choose as an option?
Oh, I chose infection prevention and control. Okay. Yeah, in global context, because so choosing the courses, actually I had to choose courses based on what I want to do or what I'm passionate about doing. So infection prevention, like I mentioned earlier, is one of my core. So that led me to choosing it as my elective.
And I think that's really important, because sometimes courses can be so prescriptive that there's no choice. Yep. You just go with what you're offered. So yep. I think the ability for students to choose either something that they have experience in or something that they have aspirations to gain more knowledge and skills in, I think is a really, really good aspect.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent thing. And also because obviously, although we're dealing with a lot of chronic conditions today in public health, we also have the emerging of old infections, infectious diseases, and new ones like COVID-19, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I think it sparked a lot of interest around prevention, infection, and us revisiting some of the core elements of public health.
Yes.
So, Nene, I mean, obviously that kind of transition from, you know, arriving in a new country and learning about a new place and the different ways of learning or and also the weather. We always talk about the weather and these things. can you tell us about what your experience was about arriving in Glasgow and arriving at GCU, please?
Okay, first off, I always tell people moving from a country of temperature, the average temperature of between 7 to 30, 32 degrees, and coming into a country of 15 degrees.
Less than
8 degrees. So I immediately came out of the airport, the reality dawned on me. But I mean, that was actually strange. And one of the, although yes, we had our research, but you know, experiencing it firsthand, it's something that was quite funny and a good experience to me. Then coming into the Glasgow city or Scotland as a whole, because I moved to Dundee when I came in, one thing I noticed is that the Scottish people are actually very kind. So when you miss your road and you're telling someone, I'm new here and I've missed my road, or I am quite confused, I don't know how to use this particular gadget or something, you see that people are quite receptive and are willing to help. So I tell people who come in newly after me that just ask questions. Someone is willing to respond to you. So that's one thing I know. Yes, the community we experienced in our place, because here we have like the individualistic mindset of people staying up, wanting to mind their business. But I know that once you reach out to someone, you find someone who is willing to help you.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm quite happy with. So arriving in Glasgow was quite easy to navigate with the people here. Yeah.
Okay. And how about the returning to university and learning again? How did you find that?
Okay. So when I came in newly, the language, so trying to understand the accent, that was quite difficult. Even I think I still struggle up till now. When I go into the inner part of the city, like the communities, and so the language, the accents, they are some of the things I struggled with, and it's something I'm currently struggling with. But with the lecturers and the staff and everyone who is willing to help people to, you know, bring us together, help people to help the students to understand what they are teaching. There are different activities that can help you integrate. And even currently we've had like the language cafe, which has been introduced to help students, you know, that's a conversation cafe to help students interact with each other, interact with natives and locals to be able to integrate and navigate the accent challenge that we have. But every other thing has been good, and the support has been massive also.
Perfect. And Martin, the classroom's really, really diverse, isn't it? And it's really multicultural, and you know, so what does that bring to the learning experience, do you think?
I think that brings a real richness to the learning experience for the students from their peers, because of that diversity that's in the room and the backgrounds of the first degrees that the students have as well. Yeah. There's so much to learn from each other, and also in terms of their aspects of what they've experienced in health and public health from their country as well. So bringing that into the classroom in Glasgow or London, I think is invaluable in the MPH programme. And I think one of the huge benefits of our programme actually in GCU is that mix of diversity in people.
Yeah, and what sort of backgrounds do people have when they come into the programme?
So we have a variety of backgrounds. First degrees, really we're looking at for people who have a degree in relation to something in health, like talked about biosciences, if I get that right, Nene. Biomedical sciences, okay, right. So we have that, we have medics, we have other types of healthcare practitioners, we have degrees around sometimes zoonotics as well, people who've maybe studied some animal to health issues as well. Even if somebody's first degree might not totally fit the programme under the umbrella of health, usually if there's a supporting statement demonstrating their work and their experience around public health, it kind of enhances their application. So I would always say to people, even if they think when they read the programme remit for what we're looking for entry requirements, is that if they think maybe their first degree doesn't fully fit, it's always worthwhile applying and supplying their transcript, but also then enhancing that with telling us about what their experience they can bring and what they've experienced in public health and from work or from volunteering, etc.
So, Nene, I wonder if I could come back to you and ask you what you think the best thing would be about being an international student at GCU.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So the best thing about being an international student in the UK and in GCU is, I would say, the attention. So everyone is willing to support you. You get to mix or get to learn cultures from different backgrounds, meet different people from different countries, and there is a whole lot of support to help international students. So that's fixated eyes on you, interest on international students has been the best thing. I mean, the attention. So, yeah, and also having to integrate with other people and learn something from a new background altogether. So starting from the beginning, I know it can be quite tough at some point, but once you integrate and you're able to come into terms of what is happening, it's one of the best things that can happen to you.
Yeah. And speaking to the other students in these podcasts, I think they've mentioned about how it helps their confidence. Because,
yes,
you know, you kind of get taken out of your comfort zone. And you're experiencing new things, but that helps to kind of make you more confident in the other things that you do.
Yeah, like I mentioned, it might not be easy at first because you're quite stretched, straight out of your family, leaving your family, leaving your comfort zone, leaving the culture you know, leaving your background, leaving the weather and temperature you're used to, and leaving the way things work in the country you're coming from,
yeah.
I mean, to another country. And also coming, and you know now you're not the first citizen, you're an immigrant. You have to abide by the rules, which are quite different from where you come from. I mean, it's kind of not easy at first, but it's a good experience. I mean, if you can do that, it means you can thrive anywhere. So the confidence it helps you build is one thing I'm happy about.
And I guess following on from that, what if you were able to tell the listeners what you found the most challenging things to be, what would you say those might be?
I struggled with the weather.
Okay.
I struggled with the weather, and sometimes I come out and I see people who are citizens or people who are locals, and I see them kind of okay with the weather. I'm like, okay, I don't know if you have any special system. So I struggled with the weather. I struggled to navigate the academic system at first, trying to do the things I'm expected to understand the things I'm expected to do before I do them. So I also struggled with, I know one of the things that most of us struggle with is getting a job at first to help you support in whatever you have already you came with. So that was some of the challenges I had at first, and the sense of not knowing if I'll be accepted. So, but along the line, I see that those things have come to place. I mean, I also went into contest for the elections, and I didn't know at first that there was room for international students to do that. But I've met with other people in the UK, and I see that there is room for that. So it's a good one, and it helps me navigate the challenges I faced at first.
Okay. Yeah. And in terms of the kind of support that the university offers, you know, there's a learning development centre, there's personal tutors. Is there anything that you found where was particularly useful? Obviously, the Students Association. What sort of things have you tapped into to help to support that kind of transition and help you develop, you know, skills and a better understanding of the culture, I guess, of learning in at GCU?
Okay, some of the things that have helped me navigate the culture, and I think that I'll give GCU a first or a good remark in, is first the Student Association, I mean, which I represent. So coming into the Student Association as a student representative, I found out that there are several, so many things that the Student Association has in store. We have like the Advice Center, we've got opportunities to fly in the Student Association. So we've got different staff who are there to support you. We've got the sports club. We've got also a podcast. We've got the reunion bar where you could have like a social space. We've also got the microwaves and everything. The Student Association also provides like breakfast for winter, during the winter period for students. And some of those things are things that can support students, also improve cost of living and everything. So I've also come into the academics. I've had good staff who have supported. Then my personal tutor, I advise students to go into the GCU Learn, check everything that has been the opportunities which are provided, the services and the support which is provided. In my first trimester, I didn't use the Learning Development Center because I had the mindset, would they take me as stupid or something like that? But after the second trimester, they were still reintroduced to us because we do the introduction in the first trimester and the second trimester too. So when they were reintroduced, I said, okay, let me use their services. I mean, when I got to the Learning Development Center with the draft of work I had, and they did some, you know, told me how to enhance my work and everything. When they provided the support they used, I scored a high mark in that course, which was a good one for me. And since then, I've been preaching to everyone, you have to make use of the Learning Development Center.
Yeah.
We also had the library, yes. So the library, we have the library staff here, mm-hmm. and we also have the library staff that the books online and everything. So GCU has a very wide library of books, online books that could help you support whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could provide you with no matter the field you're trying to delve into, the books. And you can also still borrow or request yeah. for books that are not in the library. So all those services help students. They helped me. They were the things I accessed. And they are things I'm also advising other students who are coming in or who are already present. I tell them, even as a student association representative, to access all these things. Try and make use of them.
Yeah.
They are there for you, and there's no how you're not going to be successful in your course. Then my personal tutor was someone who showed a lot of support. One of the topics I did, in my social action was something that happened during our meetup, because we have regular Fridays with my personal tutor, that's Dr. Denny. So he mentioned the topic that it's something that is just in passing. I came into this section and I had it, and I took it up and read about it and got access to the library materials and everything, and they helped me, and that was also one of the highest scores I had in the program. So, yeah.
Can I add to
of
that?
Of course, yeah.
So I'm delighted to hear Nene talk about the Learning and Development Centre, because we've taken a lot of feedback from our international students in the programme, and part of that was about more academic support. So we place the Learning and Development Centre, as Nene will know, in every module now they participate in. Oh, they participate in every module. Throughout the programme, along with obviously the students can go individually, like Nene has given her experience to go and see them. So we found out that really valuable for the students, that we continually weave the learning development in the library through every single module, for to keep continually building on the academic support yeah. for them. And the personal tutors are all from the teaching staff within yeah. the programme. So that's a whole mix of our teaching staff who are backgrounds in epidemiology,
yes.
who are backgrounds in medics, who research public health policy from practice. So there's a whole plethora of different public health experiences that are provided for the students yeah. through the module as well.
And the personal tutor isn't, I mean, that could be one of the lecturers who's taken a class that the student's in.
It will be,
yeah. But it's they're also kind of more general support for the student as, yeah.
Yeah, so there's also, along with, in terms of academic support, the personal tutor will also do some pastoral care as well
yeah.
for the students, because obviously, as Nene has also highlighted, it can be a really challenging time coming from a different country, meeting a new culture, maybe feeling isolated. So I think there's a real key role for the personal tutor there, and the Students Association, obviously, in terms of getting them involved with the students yeah. at those points.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you identified the library as well, because mm-hmm. I think
yeah.
there's a lot of resources there, because I think there can be a lot of unnecessary stress and anxiety in terms of how to you make sure that yeah. you're avoiding plagiarism and
yes.
that you're referencing things properly, and the library staff are just fantastic in helping students with that. So I think that's a resource that's
yeah.
really worth highlighting.
Yeah, I think I'm going to also talk about referencing. So
okay.
yeah, so because that's one major issue I know that students face, the issue of plagiarism and referencing. So I had the first trimester, so I had issue with knowing the best way to read. I mean, we do Harvard as the standard in public health, MPH, mm-hmm. so, but I didn't know how to write the exact one. I used the cite them right, but I needed yeah. more clarity. How do you do what? How would I write it? And you know that it's Harvard referencing style.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to meet the library staff, and they showed me how to, the differences between this, the types of referencing and the Harvard, which I'm supposed to use. And they also showed me how to do it and cite them right at
yes.
that point. So I think they're quite helpful with that. So I would encourage anybody to visit
yeah.
them for that.
And it's one of those things that once you get into the pattern of how you do it, it's actually, you know, the any perceived anxiety you have about it, it's actually, there's a pattern there.
Yeah.
Once you get into the swing of things, it's and it can save any problems, because certainly as an academic, there's sometimes students miss out on marks because they've not mm-hmm. referenced properly, and they know the work, and if just with a little bit more input in terms of referencing, then
yes.
they can pick up those marks that can make bump you up a grade as well, which
yeah.
is mm-hmm. which is good.
So Nene, you've talked quite a lot actually though about, in terms of what you would advise our students to new international students to do. But have you got one maybe piece of advice, or maybe more than one? You've maybe got a lot more advice that you could give an international student who would be joining the programme.
Okay, international students who will be joining the programme, first thing I tell even the current ones who are quite new is to make your GCU learn your friend. So, because that is where all the information you would need would be provided to you. Then also be on the look for your emails. I mean, most international students, because of the places we come from, email is not the primary official means of communication. Okay. So many of us have not seen the necessity of, or have not come to terms of using email as checking up the emails. And also the way we learn here, which almost every book, we don't have a hard copy book. Everything is in the GCU learn. So many people have not also come to terms with that. But try to bring yourself to know that this is the way it's done here. So whatever you know in your place, at some point you need to pause it and use what the system has brought up, which is suitable for us to use in this place. So try and make your GCU learn your friend. Try to make your email your friend. Then also outside the program to try and also engage with every other people, every other activities, extracurricular activities like the student association activities and every other thing. Then also try to attend your classes.
Yes,
try to attend your classes, because once you miss out on anyone, it means you have like a whole lot to cover. So and ask as much questions as you can. No, the lecturers here are very much open to help. So I would encourage any students to always ask. There's no stupid question. There's no foolish question. So ask. The more you ask, the more you do. Then for MPH students, your formative assessments, try and do your formative assessments, because once you do your formative assessments, most of the feedbacks that will be provided in your formative will help you to navigate your summative, which is the ones that are mostly awarded marks.
Yeah.
So that's my advice.
Fantastic. Thank you, Nini. And can you also maybe tell the listeners on in terms of what you've done post your studies, what you've done since completing your studies?
Okay. So some of the things I've done, obviously, I've become a part of the student representative. So I've also partnered with other schools in Scotland. There's other sabbatical officers within Scotland. So we've got some things we have been doing. One of the most recent is the UniForce project. So it's a sustainability project that is happening in Scotland. So it helps students to build employability records, and also students who have ideas and they are willing to portray what they have in mind and bring it to life. UniForce helps you to bring it to life, and we have captains of industries and so many other people who are partnering with UniForce to ensure, and it's a whole lot of academic staff and industry staff who are here in the project to support students, to help them build employability records and also navigate their project phases and every other thing. So we've got it on the Student Association website and emails. So some other things I've done is also to partner in public health projects and both back home. And those are some of the things I've been doing, and trying to navigate Scotland too. That's it. So
fantastic. Thank you.
And your job title at the moment is Vice President for School of Health and Life Sciences.
Yes.
In the Students Association.
Yes.
So, and you work with the other vice presidents and the president and across the whole university with this?
Yes, I do. I do. So I work with other vice presidents here. I work with the main student president, which is Tom Tom. Then we've got vice presidents for the three schools in GCU. So I for the School of Health and Life Science, Hamza for School of Science and Engineering, and Ellie for the School of Business and Society. So,
And what's the tenure of the role that you have? How long is that? A 1 year, 2 year, or?
So we've got 1 year.
1 year, okay.
Yes, so, but you can also repeat if you want to go in for another election. You can have 2 years. So, what at the expiry of 2 years, you don't have any other tenure to go for.
Okay, and then the president after that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Thank you very much. So One of the things that we do with these podcasts is we, rather than me and or Martin or the academics coming up with all the questions, we ask the people, the students themselves, to come up with some questions. And for the last podcast, Abdullah and Ritika came up with a couple of questions. So if it's okay, I'll ask you those, and then I'll ask you to come up with a question for us to ask the next student who comes along for the podcast. So Abdullah asked, how could GCU enhance the experience of international students?
Okay, so I think GCU has been doing a lot already, but if they could expand, say, mentorship opportunities, career opportunities, and it would be amazing. So if they could partner with international students, so pairing them with alumni, whether international alumni or home alumni, just to help, you know, integrate both of the both groups of students, so that there could be more relationship with them. So it would help students to settle in faster and also make them feel more supported. So that's what I could advise.
Excellent. And Ritika asked, how has your perspective changed since coming to GCU?
Oh, well, my perspective have really changed a lot. So actually, I'm no longer thinking individualistically. So I'm thinking more globally this time around. So whatever I'm thinking, whether as a representative of the student association or as an individual myself or as a public health practitioner. So I'm thinking of how I could support the general public, not just something that would be self-beneficial. So it has helped expand my horizon of thoughts. And so that's one of the things.
That must be make you very proud.
It's fabulous to hear. It's fabulous to hear in terms of that experience and that change of looking at population health and global health.
So yes,
definitely, I'll feed that back to the team. That's
thank
good.
You.
Thank you.
And they can listen to the podcast.
They can, exactly. They can hear it here.
Thank you.
And I guess, what question would you like us to ask the next student?
The question I would like to ask the person is, what is one experience at GCU that has really changed who you are today?
Oh, wow.
Good.
Yeah. And I always say this, and one of the reasons that I do this is because you guys always come up with much better questions than I do. So, that's a great one. Thank you. And we'll certainly ask that in the next podcast.
Yeah, because I believe every student has their own individual experience that stands out. So.
Yeah.
I would like to hear that.
Perfect.
Great.
Thank you very much. Is there anything else either of you would like to add, or anything that we've missed that you think, I wish Gordon had asked me about that?
I think I pretty much said everything I have in mind. So I just want to say thank you for the opportunity.
Not at all.
And yes, I'm always open to, if any student who is going to be listening to this or any staff and they feel, okay, Neni has said some things that are striking and I need to ask more or speak to her. So I'm always open and willing to listen and, you know, respond to more questions from people.
Yeah. And I think, sorry.
No, I was just saying that's great to know that you've got access, Neni, to you.
Yes, and one more thing is I'm willing to represent at any role at all, whether to speak to people or, you know, have to talk to a group of people or anything. I'm always open to that.
Yeah, and I guess that's something that the impression I've got from all the vice presidents, you know, and throughout the years that I've been in this role and interacted with them, you know, that it was Friday last in the last tenure, and I guess everyone's always been really, really open and welcoming, and so whenever you're listening to this podcast, you know, if you do have any questions, then, you know, there's so many resources, both in terms of the academic side of things, and the library, the LDC, Students Association. We've not even talked about societies, I guess, you know, that you can join to help to kind of make friends and things, but there's so many things that are available to students, and we're very proud of the fact that Scotland is a nation, but also GCU is a very friendly place, and if anyone has questions, then we really do our utmost to try and answer those and make people feel at home.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Excellent. So it just falls to me to say thank you very much to Neni and to Martin and to everyone who's listening. I hope you've enjoyed this, and this is a spurge on to apply for the Master of Public Health programme at GCU. And thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.